Hour
on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Individual board members, there are my conversations with them, all of their interest is the improvement of the institution this community, right? How does it fit into community? But also, at the end of the day, we have to understand that UWF is also a state asset, and there's a lot of potential. So I do think, from the state government perspective, the governor, the legislature, UWF is a state asset, is something that produces not only for this region, but also for the state.
You know, this was a really interesting comment by Manny Diaz yesterday when I had a chance to talk to him. And because it's pushback, but it's very gentle pushback, because I had asked the question about, you know, the feeling of a hostile takeover and the feeling like the board had ambushed and bullied the former board members and, you know, kind of all the stuff that I have said many times on the air. And, you know me, if I've said it on the air, I'm going to say it to the person that we're talking about, or, you know, to him when he's coming on into this, you know, fairly contentious situation. And, the feeling towards UWF here in Pensacola is it's our school. You know, it's very affectionate. We have lots of graduates, of course, who live in this area. Many of us send our kids there. I have two kids, one who graduated, one who's there, and probably one who's going to go there. The third is going to go there. And we all very much feel like it's our school. Like it's like maybe imperfect, but like it's our high school. You know, the way you're affectionate towards your high school, you know, it very much feels that way. And there's a lot of tight interconnectivity between the university and the campus and, you know, with sports and now with football especially. And also, and, which, by the way, there has been historically a little bit of separation, too, just because of its, you know, geographic place. And so I've always liked the things that UWF has done in the community, whether it's working with businesses or with cyber or the military or the historical foundation, all the stuff, the cultural heritage stuff, all of that. It's all good, okay? Because, you know, a lot of times when you go to a university town, there's a real division between the college and the town. In fact, the townies versus the students, you know, it's kind of, that's a thing, you know, and sometimes, I mean, maybe not as much these days, but at least historically, you know, fights would break out and don't go to the same bars and all that kind of stuff. It's not like that with UWF, right? And also partially because it's not a primarily live on campus. You know, a lot of people commute. Anyway, that's the feeling. The feeling is it's like ours. And what he's saying is, well, remember, you know, it's not. Not in a bad way, not in an argumentative way, but remember, it's an arm of the state. It is the state university system. And that means that ultimately it is the state, therefore the governor and or the legislature and or the board of governors who's got ownership of it and has the right by law and also just by the structure of the thing to do with it as they see fit for the interests of the state. And, you know, that may not be the kind of thing you love being reminded of, but he's not wrong. And it reminded me of the relationship we have with NAS Pensacola, which is very similar in the sense that a lot of us feel like it's our base, and that's good, just like it's very good to feel like it's our school. But as we sometimes find out, it's our base up to the point where the Navy reminds you it's not. It's actually our base. And if you coming on the base represents a security threat, you won't be coming on the base, you know, as we saw for several years. And that was frustrating for us as a community and bad, I think, for us as a community. But that's the reality. Like the base has a mission, the Navy has a mission, and, you know, you thinking it's your base is, you know, wrong. I mean, it's okay, but it's wrong. So I actually appreciated that comment because it helped me think about my attitude towards the changes at UWF and, you know, how much of this is a byproduct of me thinking, well, how dare you do this to my school? You know, it's not my school. I mean, it is a little bit, but it's not. And by the way, that relationship with the community is a good thing, but it can lead you to kind of maybe think wrongly about some stuff. A couple of times anyway with me said this yesterday, and I thought that it was a good thing to hear him say, because it does sort of address the concern that people have that there's big dramatic, you know, tear it down and start over kind of changes coming to UWF, which was the tone that Governor DeSantis had. It's definitely the tone that he had. And I certainly hope that is not the case, because why would you do that to a school that's thriving? That's been one of the concerns here is, hey, we're great. Why do we need to take such dramatic changes?
I think what we need to look at going forward is where are the opportunities to build on what was already put in there? So it's not, this is not about breaking down the institution or blowing up the institution. I think that was a fear that some folks had early on.
Yeah.
This is about how do we build upon some of these assets and some of these programs that are already doing well and can really be a catalyst for the institution.
Yeah, I mean, good. Okay, good. Now, you know, I've talked with him on the air for about 20 minutes yesterday and talked with him off the air for about 15 or 20 minutes the day before. And, you know, I've said this before, I'll say it again, that however we got here, ugly though that was, frustrating, irritating, wrong though that was, we are here. And now the question is, well, you know, what does this mean going forward? And, you know, I'm not naive, but I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful. I like Manny. I think he's capable and competent. Time will tell. You know, we'll see what the numbers show. And as Lonzie Scott said in the most recent board meeting, we'll, you know, we'll know in a year or two. Have the metrics improved? Have they held? Have they gone down? Well, we'll know if it's working or not. And we may have to wait for that to, in order to find out. More from him in just a second, because he did give this press conference at UWF. I wanted to share some of that commentary with you. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Traffic's brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulk Service Waste is now called for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Gulf Beach Highway looking clear. The front gate of NAS Pensacola also looking good. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you are 64 turning 65, or you're going to retire, or you just have questions about Medicare, give Ricky Stewart a call. She's a good friend. She's very smart. She's, I mean, you'll love her. She's totally a darling. But I've known her since she was on news and ever since, and her family and everything. And her whole family does all insurance stuff. She does this one little part where she helps people understand Medicare, get converted, manage their plans, benefits, understand Advantage and supplement and prescriptions and Medicaid. And does Medicaid apply to you? Because it's confusing because they're similar names, but they're definitely not the same. Anyway, all of that stuff. She's good at that, and she can talk with you. She's helped lots of our listeners figure this out. 341-2185 is the phone number. Look her up online at insuredbyricky.com. Okay, back to Manny Diaz yesterday at the press conference. I thought a lot of what he said at the beginning was stuff that he had told us earlier, so I won't repeat all of that. He was emphatic about the value of athletics, and I thought that was good. And he's right that, you know, athletics is a big part of an advanced growing strategy. It's a branding opportunity. It draws enrollment. If you can do well in athletics, especially football, it is, for better or worse, a way that people judge a university's caliber. And if you do well in football, you can definitely generate recruiting out of that.
We've seen it, you know, as a member of BOG, I've seen it at FAU. FAU made a run to the Final Four a few years ago. Their enrollment went up, you know, I don't know what the percentage was, but it was crazy. When FGCU did it, which is a similar sized institution, that drove enrollment and attention. And so how do you maximize that, and how do you brand that? How do you make sure there's visibility for the institution? Because that also provides opportunities to draw down other investment, because when people want to be part of something, it's human nature, right? And if you're winning, people are more willing to donate money to academic programs. They want to be part of what's going on this campus. And I think it's incredibly important for morale and for school spirit on the campus. You just have a better functioning culture when you have that.
Yeah, agreed. Academics don't like to acknowledge this. It's frustrating to us because I taught philosophy for a long time, so that's kind of where my head is at. It's irritating to think that football, for example, can be so important to the reputation and the ability to recruit, you know, for academics as it is. But it is. It's annoying, but it's true. You know, and so I actually agree with his kind of theory that football in particular, but other sports in general, has a great opportunity for us to, you know, expand, brand, be known. He was adamant, both in talking with me and in the press conference, that he does not view UWF as some second or third tier school, that he views it as the opportunity to become a genuine tier one school that attracts people from all over the country and certainly regionally. And there's no reason that, you know, potential students growing up should think of UWF as their safety school, that instead they should think of UWF as the school you go to, you know, instead of FSU or instead of Auburn or any of the other, you know, great universities in the area. That's kind of his vision. He also, you know, I didn't have a chance to ask him this. I actually knew the answer because I had talked with him, but I didn't have a chance in our interview to talk with him about this. So I'm glad somebody else asked him the question about his family.
So I'll tell you, I got off a plane because I had to take my vacation before starting, and I was on the job as commissioner until Sunday at 11:59 p.m. So I flew in from out of the country into Miami, flew to Tallahassee and drove over. My family will be joining me on Sunday, and we still don't have, clearly, I just jumped into the job. We still haven't had the opportunity to look at that. So we'll be taking the time that we have in between all of the functions that I have as interim president to be able to look for that. So that's still a work in progress, but you know, I'm here.
Right. And, you know, finding a place to live, navigating with kids. He's got younger kids, high school, junior high age kids, getting your wife in town. I mean, all of that stuff, it's important. Now, this next question, if you know me, you're going to think this next question is kind of squirrely. But I thought it actually led to some very revealing comments by him about who he is. And a lot of times it's a matter of getting to know somebody. And you know me, I'm a big fan of the human stuff. And so I actually thought this was kind of interesting, even though the phrasing of the question was, well, you'll hear, okay?
What about any unexpected moment of joy with the Southern culture and charm that we have here?
Well, listen, it's...
In case, what about any unexpected moment of joy with the community and the culture here? Which is... I mean, it's a weird question, but it, like I say, it led to some kind of interesting comments.
It's been, I can tell you right off the bat that the community's been very welcoming as a whole, both the business community and everybody else. The food has been fantastic. It's not my...
Do you want to name anyone?
I don't want to name anyone. I don't want to get into that and upset somebody, but it's definitely a better food scene than Tallahassee, so I can tell you that. Just as welcoming and a better food scene.
Yeah, I mean, then that's not even an issue, but of course, but you know, good for him to say it, right?
As a history guy, that's what I taught when I was in the classroom at the K-12 level. Just the opportunity to be able to see this living history. It's funny because I came back from Spain and I was listening to all of on the tour yesterday, all of the things having to do with Spain and the Spanish presence here in Pensacola, obviously the first settlement. I clearly know what side of the argument we are with St. Augustine now.
And that's the kind of stuff that comes over time as you start to pick up those, you know, being local, being relevant, understanding where we're at versus other things. But I thought actually, you know, because he taught history, that's his deep background before he was a senator. And I think he was a principal at a K-12, at a high school. I forget, something like that. But anyway, talking about some of that background too was kind of interesting to me.
I was gifted a book that just came out called 1776, the Spanish experience. So it's the American Revolution from the Spanish perspective and their role, and it hits on the Battle of Pensacola and some of those things, not just the settlement but the actual involvement. And so for me, that history and having direct Spanish heritage is something that, you know, it just happened to kind of fall in place, right? There's so much history here. It's enjoyable to be able to see that. Other parts of the state, when you get outside of these areas, is relatively new, you know, when it comes to American history. But this part of Florida obviously has a long-standing historical tradition, and there's so many things to see. So I enjoy that. And I think we have to highlight that and maximize that potential as well.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, that was kind of a perspective that's, it's obvious when you think of it, but for whatever reason, I had never quite, you know, considered the idea that, you know, Northwest Florida and Northeast Florida both have long history. Central and South Florida, not so much, not by comparison, you know what I mean? And so another example where we're kind of like two states in a lot of ways. So anyway, hearing from him was good. Hearing some of the personal stuff in addition to some of the policy stuff and the views of athletics and the priorities and what he wants to do. It's a process of getting to know somebody that, you know, he doesn't really know us and we don't really know him. Not to, I don't mean to, you know, throw shade the way that came up in the commentary about Chief Randall and all of that. I'm more optimistic that this is going to, you know, be productive long term, but we'll see. And look, I'm not sold yet. I'm still frustrated with, you know, I thought Martha Saunders was great, but I'm not anti either. I want to see what happens. I'm open to the possibilities. Somebody says, got a couple of people texting in, Andrew, you're mistaken about who owns the university. The people own the university because the state is the people. Okay, yes. But you get what I'm saying also, that the steward, the trustee, the caretaker, you know, of this university system is the state government, and the state government is not the same as the residents of Pensacola or Santa Rosa County. I mean, there's truth in both. And of course, ultimately, if the government itself does not represent or reflect or, you know, protect the interests of the people, well, they'll take action, you know. But, you know, fair. I mean, that's fair. PJ has got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Looks like there's a vehicle crash, North Davis Highway. Right near North Cross Lane, they are saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you need something done inside your home that has to do with the air conditioning, the heating, the electrical, the plumbing, the kind of complex systems inside your home, you want somebody who's going to take care of it right, do it professionally, use high-quality products, right, and stand by the work with a 100% satisfaction guarantee, that's Peden. Peden has been doing this for 55 years all along the Gulf Coast, everywhere from Tallahassee over to Mobile and everywhere in between. And they've just recently been expanding farther west. Just a couple of years ago, opened up offices in Baldwin County, and now last year in Mobile. And just continuing to thrive because, you know, they take care of people and, you know, you can count on them. It's a brand you can rely on. This month, during the month of July, the special they have, they always have something going on. This month, it's getting ready for the really hot stuff that's coming. Summer is coming. I mean, it's here, but it's coming. $1,000 off a new air conditioning system, and special financing is available. There are some restrictions, so pay attention. But if you want to cool down now, or you want to make sure you're in good shape for, you know, the worst of it that's coming, $1,000 off a new AC system. Find out more at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Winning at life is a scriptural concept. Run that you may obtain speaks of winning. Run in such a way that you avoid being a castaway. We should run like Paul, not Demas. Paul fought a good fight, finished his course, and kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness. However, Demas forsook his friend and his faith, having loved this present world. Paul was a winner, but Demas was a castaway. So what's the key to winning at life? The Bible says it's temperance, self-control. It's not asceticism, religious self-effort, but it is spirit-enabled self-control. Temperance is a fruit of the spirit. It's allowing your position in Christ to determine your pursuits. So avoid being a castaway by biblically regulating each area of your life, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, verbally. Control yourself for God's glory. Spirit-filled self-control is the key to winning at life.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
You're not going to want to miss tonight's county fair. I'm going
to
be...
We are your window to your community.
Did you see the last 5 minutes of that football game last night?
Oh, man, I saw the whole thing.
And a lifeline to keep you safe when danger is near.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can. This is one of the biggest storms.
We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Join Claimology today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's today at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Give me that pen. You're always making things difficult.
Nicely handled, Baruka. She's a girl who knows where she's going.
So we're watching this, what was once a blob and is now still sort of a more formed blob, but the blobbiness of the blob is to our west. And the one thing about this semi-storm is it's all over New Orleans. That's the area that's mostly concentrated on right now. And they are expecting fairly significant rainfall over there. We are expecting the possibility of some significant rainfall here, maybe in the 3 to 5 inches vicinity, maybe tomorrow night. And I say maybe because it's going to be kind of pop-up showers, and if they last a long time. And so, you know, both counties, Escambia and Santa Rosa, have put out sand. So they are concerned about the possibility of flash flooding. And if you live in low-lying areas or in floodplains, you know, you need to be thinking about what might happen tomorrow night. But, you know, also at the same time, for a lot of us, it's kind of like, well, is it going to be much? I don't know. We'll see. It so far hasn't really lived up to anything. But, you know, if the emergency managers in both counties are taking action, then, you know, pay attention. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Senate Republicans worked late into the night to approve cutting of funding for public broadcasting, global health programs, and some foreign aid. Lawmakers narrowly passed a package that would claw back $9 billion in spending that had already been approved. It's part of efforts by the Department of Government Efficiency that used to be run by Elon Musk. Lightning strike at a New Jersey archery range has killed a 61-year-old man and injured more than a dozen other people. It happened Wednesday night. The other victims were reportedly from a Boy Scout troop and received burns. None of the injuries, though, are life-threatening.
Oh, wow. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, we're going to talk to now Chief of the Pensacola Police Department, Kristen Brown. Her first interview as Chief. I've talked to her several times before in the past, but her first interview with me as Chief, and we'll find out what she wants to do at the department and maybe get to know her a little bit better. That's coming up next.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. The Senate approving a White House request to claw back $9 billion in foreign aid and public broadcasting.
It's the first time a rescissions package has passed in over a quarter century. You have to go back to the Clinton administration for the last time. It passed the Senate largely on a party line vote. Every Democrat voted against it except one who is ill. There were two Republican no votes, Senators Collins and Murkowski.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson, beloved singer and music icon Connie Francis, has died.
Connie Francis became popular in the late 1950s and early 60s, noted for her strong voice, becoming one of the top female singers at the time. Best known for her signature hit, Who's Sorry Now, followed by hit after hit.
Fox's Gary Baumgarten, her song Pretty Little Baby, had a TikTok-fueled resurgence this year. She was 87. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 82 degrees in Pensacola. We'll get a full check of our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. A man's been arrested after a shooting on Wilson Avenue and Kincaid Street. 58-year-old Michael Stephen Johnson. He was arrested last night after deputies responded to a home where a trespassing incident had reportedly escalated into a shooting. Investigators say the victim had left that property, then later returned, and that's when the victim and Johnson got into an argument, which escalated into the fatal shooting. Johnson's currently being held on possession of a weapon by a convicted felon charges and remains in the Escambia jail with no bond. The Waverly and Westmore condo and apartment development in downtown Pensacola is looking at a six-month delay. And this is due reportedly to rising construction costs and interest rates, which have now doubled the cost of the project since it started. Developers say the costs have gone up by 65%, which has resulted in some design modifications to try and stay within budget. The city council did approve an extension for construction to start by the end of the year. The project is also set for completion by December 30th of 2030. Those being held in Alligator Alcatraz are suing to try and get more access to their attorneys. The ACLU filed a class action lawsuit yesterday against the Department of Homeland Security, ICE, and the governor. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of four detainees at the Immigrant Detention Center in the Everglades. The plaintiffs claim that their constitutional rights are being violated because they're being denied access to legal counsel. Governor DeSantis says plans to build the Northeast Florida version of Alligator Alcatraz are now being put on hold. The governor said yesterday that he's not planning on moving forward, at least right now, with plans to build an immigrant detention facility at Camp Blanding in Clay County. The governor said he wants to wait for Alligator Alcatraz to fill up first. That facility is designed to hold up to potentially 4,000 detainees. Despite the announcement, protesters are still planning a rally at Camp Blanding this coming weekend. Ashley Moody celebrating the signing of a bill that she believes is common sense and designed to reduce drug overdose deaths. Senator Moody was at the White House yesterday. She was watching President Trump sign the Halt Fentanyl Act into law. That bill permanently classifies fentanyl-related substances as Schedule I drugs and establishes penalties. Schedule I drugs are the most addictive and have no medical use. Moody says it was one of the first bills that she co-sponsored after becoming a senator, and she believes that this bill will hold those who peddle fentanyl accountable, and she says it could also save lives. It's 735. News Radio 92.3. PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still just looking at that vehicle crash, North Davis Highway in Pensacola, right near North Cross Lane. They are saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a high chance of rain as you go throughout your day today. 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Friday, 70% chance of heavy showers and thunderstorms, high near 89 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Going into Saturday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 90 and a low near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 82 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 79 in Milton. Some showers reported there. Our next news at 8. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. New research notes that if President Trump fires Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, experts warn that it would be significantly negative for markets. Trump said he was highly unlikely to fire Powell shortly after a senior White House official said the Fed chair was likely to be fired soon. The producer price index in June was flat, meaning that wholesale prices remained stagnant from May to June. However, the PPI measures prices at the level of the manufacturer, which is in America. Officials added that the index does not include imports. The NAACP and environmental groups in Memphis have filed a permit appeal to stop XAI from using gas-burning turbines to power its supercomputer facility in the area. Elon Musk's AI startup has been running the turbines for months to power its supercomputer in Memphis and previously claimed it did not need permits. Futures are currently mixed. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 231, the NASDAQ up 52, the S&P 500 up 19. Once again, futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
What you want, what you want, what you gonna do when you shut
my thought right now would be to congratulate Kristen Brown. I've known Kristen for a long time. You know, worked with her quite a bit over there. And I had a conversation with her a couple of days ago and told her how proud I was and how supportive we were of her and the job. It's a difficult job. These are, again, I know I have been there. And I told her that whatever advice or help I can give her, well, I'm certainly available to it. You know, it's historic. She's the first female police chief, even though it's on an interim basis. She is in charge at the Pensacola Police Department. And again, so I congratulate her. I wish her well. I think that the police department's in good hands with her at the helm, even if it is for a couple of months.
Yeah, this is, I had asked Scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons on Tuesday, you know, his thoughts about this whole transition, anything he wanted to say. And the one thing he was eager to talk about is his, you know, belief in, confidence in, affection for now Chief of Police Kristen Brown, formerly Captain Brown. And in fact, she is on the line with me now. Chief Brown, it seems weird to say, I'm so used to calling you Captain, but Chief Brown, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Oh, it's good to visit with you again, Andrew.
Oh, it's great to have you on. You and I, we've known each other a long time, and I kind of had told this story one time, but it's worth reminding that I was literally, when all of this transpired, and I think I had just texted you a congratulations, you know, and figuring that we would talk to you after the press conference the other day. And I was sitting there thinking, how do I know her? I can't, well, I've known you so long, I couldn't remember how we met. And you were the one who reminded me. It was because I interviewed you back when you were just promoted to lieutenant as the first female lieutenant, and then captain, and now first female police chief in the city of Pensacola, right?
Yes, sir. That is how you and I met, and it was a pleasure to talk to you then, and it's, again, a pleasure to talk to you today.
Oh, you're so sweet. And that's the one thing I keep telling people is you just got to get to know her. She's such a sweetheart. Everybody is just, you know, all good words. So I figured that this is a good opportunity for the audience to get to know you a little bit. You're going to be their chief of police. And so tell them a little bit about, like, sort of your story. Who are you? How did you, you know, you're not from Pensacola originally, but you've been here an awfully long time. How does Kristen Brown go from, you know, coming here and becoming, you know, a police woman and then eventually becoming the first female chief of police?
Well, you know, my dad, and I'm blessed to have both my parents still here with me as live in the city, actually. And he was a United States Marine. And so he came in and out of Pensacola, went to flight school. And I'm the youngest of three girls. By the time I came along, he was doing several duties here in Pensacola back and forth. And my parents, we all come from West Virginia. And when Dad got into flight school and saw the paradise of what Pensacola is, he told my mom, we are retiring here. So
nice.
That is how we are here. And I did not want to venture far from the nest by no means. But I knew I wanted something, you know, a structured career and, you know, a good retirement that's going to last me. And I got a very good recommendation from a dear friend of mine in college who is actually a lieutenant right now with me at the police department, Jed Phone Jim, you know, come work down here at the city. They're great. And that's how it started.
Where did you go to school? Was it UWF or was it somewhere else?
I did Troy State University.
Oh, Troy State. Okay.
But as far as, you know, high school and such, was in different duty stations in California, Rhode Island, all around. Yes, sir.
Military kid. Got it. So you've been on the force
yes.
for 29 years.
Yes,
what have you done over that time? How did you start? I mean, you've obviously, you know, promoted and graduated up through the ranks, but, you know, what are some of the things that you've done? I know some of the career path for, you know, I knew Tommy and Chip and I know them very well and Kevin Christman and, you know, their involvement in narcotics
yes.
and undercover and SWAT and all of that. But I think your path might have been a little bit different than that one.
Yes, it was. I will say, and I completely support this program. I started out as a Pensacola police cadet, and just having this visual of cadet to chief, and, you know, even acting chief, that it's going to tell these people, these young people that are coming on board that, wow, someday I can do this top cop job, you know, just stick with it, gets you experience in all your divisions, and you're going to find a passion in the realm of police work that you're going to just excel at. And it's possible. It's possible to go from cadet to chief.
Wow, it kind of reminds me of the STA in the Navy, the Seaman Admiral Program, you know, that idea of, you know, lowest entry point to the highest rank, essentially, in the force. What's it been like over the years? Because, again, you know, you and I got to know each other because you were, you know, famously the first female lieutenant. There's this sort of long history of the efforts to really integrate women into police. It's sometimes been very successful, sometimes been less successful. I'd say we're probably... you know, we're closer to the end goal of an ideal situation now than we ever have been before, both in the country and here at PPD. But your thoughts about women in the police force, because I know people have that question, you know, what's your thought as having been that woman?
Yes, sir. I think it's absolutely necessary. You know, everybody, you know, men and women have different ways of handling situations, and we play off each other very well. When we have to have, you know, stressful situations, taxful situations, we all receive the same, you know, great training, and we work together as a team. It's just having another teammate there. Now, when I began, you know, with the Pensacola Police Department, I have to tell you, I did not meet one obstacle that I recognized that was being put up in front of me because I was a woman, if that makes sense. I did not recognize that. I don't believe I had to overcome anything like that. I had nothing but support from my peers and my supervision and from command all the way up through my career.
We're talking to Kristen Brown. She's the new chief of Pensacola Police Department. Chief, hang on for just a second. Let me get a traffic break from PJ first.
Sure.
Still working that vehicle crash North Davis Highway right near North Cross Lane in Pensacola. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Chief Brown. You know, it's kind of interesting. I got a text in. Somebody said, this is funny. They said, come on, Andrew, would you use a word like sweetheart if you were talking about a guy who was the new Pensacola police chief? And I said, no, but it wouldn't be true of him. And it's absolutely an accurate word for her. But let's turn that into a question, which is you're a very kind person. You're very decent. You're very friendly. You're a hugger, you know, and you know, some people are and some people aren't. Tommy is, you know, some are not. I mean, you know, everybody's a little bit different. But, okay, let's take that question head on. You're a very nice person. How can it be possible that a nice, you know, sweetheart of a person can also be the necessary stern leader, you know, dealing with cops, managing cops, leading personalities, handling crime? Maybe talk about that a second.
Well, you know, I do have a relationship with everyone at the police department, with a lot of the administration, the officers, getting to know the newer officers because I've been up in administration. It is like a family, but in a family, you know, it's got to be run. It has a mission. This department has a mission. The mayor has a mission for the police department. He's put me in this position, you know, to hold the fort down until you have somebody permanent. And I thank him for that. And I can do that. I can direct this department. I can steer it the way that it needs to go. And I believe I will have absolute support from my command staff and from everyone in the department. And everyone believes that, yes, we are a family, but we have a mission to do. And that's crime fighting, public safety, community involvement.
Outstanding. And, you know, it's just it is kind of an interesting historical moment where the chief of police is a woman, the chief of the fire department is a woman, the Milton police chief is a woman right now. And I mean, we really have, you know, progressed quite a long ways in law enforcement and, you know, public safety in this regard. The future for the program. I mean, you know, you obviously have a lot of thoughts. You've been around for 29 years. You're retiring in a year and a half, at least. By the way, do you regret dropping? Like, would you undrop if you could? We know you can't. It's an ironclad thing. But given this moment, do you still look forward to retiring? Or is there a part of you that's like, oh, no. What's your plan?
I do not 100% regret dropping. And I'll tell you why. I have had such a wonderful career and have made an extended family for the rest of my life out of this department, and I'm so ready to give back what I can to my mom and dad in their twilight years, to be there for them, to keep them in their home as long as they want to, as they go through, you know, the aging process. That is what I want to do with going into my retirement.
Okay.
Is taking care of them.
I got it.
I do not regret it. I do not regret it.
That was, I almost asked you that question in the press conference. I'll wait for Thursday to ask that question. Okay. So going forward, you know, what do you see? Where are the opportunities? You said, where are the cobwebs the other day? That was the expression I think DC used.
Correct.
But what's, you know, what are some of the things that we can look forward to? I know you said you want to maintain and extend the significant initiatives by Chief Randall, that, you know, we're going to try to not, you know, not big course corrections in that regard. But, you know, what are the things that you think need to be improved? What are the things that you want to work on?
You know, what I would like to see, and I'll start off internally, and we've all talked about it, but, you know, our department is, we're in this magic number of, are we small, are we medium? We know we're not large, but I believe we're medium. And I would love to see more experience moving through the department at a 3 to 5 year limitation on positions that they hold, to get investigative experience. Because you put a patrol officer in investigations and they do a round in investigations, they're going to come back out so much stronger as a patrol officer when you're on that scene that's moving fast, trying to get that information. And then they have a unique perspective of, wow, I know what this detective needs right away. Not just the report to be completed in a timely manner, but it just adds so much. It needs to be a rotation that I think I would love to implicate, of getting people the experience and moving through the different divisions of the department.
When you say size, it sounds like what you mean is more a matter of the way you think about the department and the kind of systems and strategies you use. But do you also think that it needs to grow? Because, you know, the city... It's not really changing in population. The county is changing dramatically in population, but the city's relatively holding steady. Do you think does the size of the department need to grow in personnel, or are you at a good level right now?
We are at a good level, but I'm not going to say no to some more police officer positions. I mean, that is who does the work. That is the police you see, no matter how much you hear us talk about it. That is the beat officer you see that does the work.
Right.
I would definitely like to see some of the divisions grow in number so we can do much more in the community and education in the community, because that's always an ask on our list. That's always something to do, and we have a list to go out to do. And that's another thing that I think I mentioned, I don't recall, but, you know, Chief Randall had a lot of community involvement and projects, and, you know, those are still moving forward because they were great for the community.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. And, you know, there have been a lot of great things, you know, everything from having more police officers downtown in the CRA to, you know, the use of the folks who are interfacing with the social workers to interface with the homeless. I mean, kind of just all of these different things as just two examples, but there's lots of that kind of stuff. Last question I just wanted to ask you, or maybe not quite the last, but something that Chief Randall actually mentioned in his interview with WEAR that I wanted to ask you about, because I had not heard this. You are upgrading your sidearms. What do you guys carry right now? It's Glock 40s, if I'm not mistaken, but you're changing?
That is correct. Yes, sir, we are. We're going back to the 9mm, and it has been widely voted on across the department that this gun is much more efficient and user-friendly, and I can tell you that the ammunition is much more accessible for our training purposes and less expensive. And, you know, that's a good check for the budget. Less expensive.
Okay, yeah. I mean, 9mm is the universal standard. And, you know, I always thought that the reason that cops like the 40 is because it has a little bit more stopping power. But it's, you know,
correct,
it's a little harder to find the ammunition, a little bit more expensive, and, you know, a little bit bigger recoil, harder to use. I assume those are all the factors.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I also understand you're going to red dot sights instead of iron sights. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's a training opportunity. I had never really shot with them before, but my son has a couple of guns that he bought with red dot sights. I personally don't love them. I just, for whatever reason, I'm attached to the iron sights, but I know they're better and I know everybody loves them. But that'll be a training opportunity, right, to get old cops to transition to a new weapon, right?
It is. Our training division is got our training schedule planned out, and it is a full 2 days of training, which I don't think any of us has seen that with firearm training like that, full days, since we've been back in the academy.
Right.
That'll be a good time to get together and get the camaraderie build up again and learn something new.
Outstanding. Well, we're looking forward to that. Anything else you want to tell the community as we let you go for this first interview anyway? Chief Brown, any final words?
Oh, well, I just, again, want to really give my appreciation to Mayor Reeves for his confidence and support in me, and to City Administrator Kinsella, and to all of the law enforcement community that has reached out to me, and the actual citizens of Pensacola that have been reaching out to me and stopping me and welcoming me. I cannot thank you enough. And I'm here to help, and you can reach out to me anytime.
Outstanding. Well, we look forward to talking to you again. Whenever you want to be on, you're fully welcome. Of course, we talk with Mike every week. If you want that to be you, if you want that to be him, or alternating like we did with Chief Randall, whatever you want to do, I'm open to it, of course. I've known her a long time, and a universally positive reputation among law enforcement folks in the area. Kristen Brown, the new chief of the Pensacola Police Department. Captain Brown, I did it. Chief Brown, congratulations. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk to you again soon.
Best of luck.
You bet. Bye-bye.
7:55 on News Radio 92.3. PJ's got traffic for us. PJ?
Still just looking at that vehicle crash, North Davis Highway in Pensacola, right near North Cross Lane. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Every Subaru at Anderson Subaru is built with quality parts and precision engineering, so you can count on your Subaru to be with you for the long road ahead. And you can count on a great rate from Anderson Subaru to help you get there. With 0% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Solterra models, with 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Outback models, or 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Crosstrek models, and 3.9% APR for 48 months on 2025 Forester models. 0%, 1.9%, 2.9%, and 3.9%. Combined with legendary reliability and longevity, there's even more reason to love a Subaru. From Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Summer's heating up, and so is the menu at Sonny's Barbecue. This is Eldon with Sonny's. Sink your teeth into delicious competition-style St. Louis ribs, smoked to perfection and ready for a standing ovation. Or try the new barbecue slider sampler. 3 bold sandwiches and 1 happy belly. Feeling a little tangy? Grab the Tennessee Vinegar pulled pork sandwich. It's got a zip that you won't soon forget. Don't forget to save room for the strawberry corn cakes. They're sweet, seasonal, and only for summer. Visit sunnysbarbecue.com for the location nearest you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Gun show this weekend in Pensacola. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. Brand new event located at the Pensacola Zelica Grotto Shrine. 1000 South K Street, next to Sanders Beach Club. Saturday 9 to 4, Sunday 10 to 3. Admission $10 a person, kids under 14 are free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more, go to usagunshowsfl.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Describe what Marcellus Wallace looks like.
What?
Say what again?
he sounds angry. Such a great movie. A lot of which you can't play on the radio. 7:59, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. 20 states are suing the Trump administration over its termination of a FEMA program. Wednesday, the states filed a lawsuit against FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security for seeking to block the shutdown of a key disaster preparation program. The lawsuit claims the shutdown was illegal and violated separation of powers. FEMA's Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities program provided federal funding to disaster mitigation projects, but it was shut down earlier this year.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Gulf Breeze News comes up next. The frivolous topic, the Gen Z stare, and maybe a talk about how to answer the phone, because they don't answer it the same way you do.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
This hasn't happened since Bill Clinton was president. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Federal funding already approved may be canceled.
On this vote, the yeas are 51, the nays are 48.
That was at about 2 a.m. this morning when Republicans finally approved what's called a rescissions package targeting spending DOGE called wasteful.
So this bill claws back $9 billion in foreign aid and public broadcasting that's already appropriated by Congress. So that cuts funding for NPR, PBS. However, the bill exempts $400 million for PEPFAR funding. The White House agreed to remove the popular AIDS relief program from the package.
Fox's Aisha Hosni at the Capitol. Two Republicans joined Democrats voting no, but the bill now goes back to the House to vote on the amended version. For the second time, a Comey.